Stacey Corcoran Podcast.
Well, it's May, and that means high school graduation is right around the corner. But we want to make sure that another group of graduates are not forgotten. The people who earn their GED. Here with his own personal story of triumph on the general equivalency diploma is Mr. Jorge Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fallon. When I began to study for the GED, I was a father of four. My back had just gone out, and I lost my job at the post office. Nobody will hire me. Not UPS, not Federal Express, not DHL, not,
What, like Airborne Express?
Airborne Express. I couldn't even get a job delivering pizza. Not at Pizza Hut. Not at Domino's. Little Caesar. Not at,
Papa John's.
No, I didn't apply at Papa John's.
All right, John. We got whatever. Keep going.
So, anyway, I took the GED. And I failed it. I failed science. I failed math. I failed
English.
Yeah, I failed everything.
Okay, yep.
Then I got serious about it and I took it again. But I failed it again. So I sat down and I said to myself, get real. You gotta pass this test.
Yeah.
I got super serious and I studied my head off. And I still failed. I still failed.
But you failed three times?
No, I failed five times. Then I said, I'm gonna take this thing one last time. And my friend Pepe told me that he passed by putting the letter C for every answer.
And then you passed.
No, my friend Pepe was wrong.
Why are you here?
I'm looking for Pepe. Anybody know Pepe? Anybody? Don't worry. Don't worry, Jimmy Fallon. I'm gonna get Pepe. Your ass is grass, and I'm the lawnmower. I'm the Toro. I'm the Honda. I'm the John Deere. I'm the Snapper.
That's enough. Jorge Rodriguez, everyone.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
And with that, we welcome you to the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com for Thursday, the 29th of April, 2021. I'm laying in bed, it's 3:30 in the morning, and I can't sleep, and I just start having... I don't know if this happens to you, too. That's when you start having weird thoughts. You know, you can daydream during the day, and everything seems like it's fine. I mean, everybody daydreams a little bit. You think about maybe being on vacation, or you think of a former lover, or you're thinking about your current lover, and maybe something you want to do later on that night, or you think about, you know, maybe you want to buy a house, or a new car, or... You got COVID concerns, you know, people worry about their kids, their grandkids. All those sort of things are normal, and finances, obviously, especially now. And you're just laying in bed, it's 3:30 in the morning, you can't sleep, and you just start thinking about these things. That's what normal people think about. Here's what I think about. Years ago, and by the way, this was one of the, I guess you would say, trademark jokes of Jerry Seinfeld when he first came into prominence. And he did a bit about the black box in the cockpit. Plane crashes, everybody dies, they go looking for the black box because that survives. And of course, Seinfeld was like, why don't we make the whole plane out of the black box? And people have been laughing about that joke for, you know, almost 40 years now. Let's make the whole plane out of the black box. So I start thinking about cancer. Now, just stay with me here, okay? Because, you know, at first blush, you're like, huh? What's that connection? Just stay with me, okay? So I'm thinking to myself, think of all the cancers there are. You can start at the top of the body and go all the way down. You got brain cancer. You got skin cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, mouth cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, stomach cancer. There's even ass cancer. They don't call it ass cancer, but that's what it is. It's ass cancer. You know what you have never heard in your entire life? Dick cancer. Oh, I know what you're saying. There's prostate cancer. There's testicular cancer. That's not the dick. You have never heard anybody say, oh yeah, we lost Frank to dick cancer. So you just figure out how to make our entire bodies out of whatever it is that our dicks have made of, and nobody ever gets cancer and dies again. Go ahead and laugh. Laugh all you want, but you can't say that I'm wrong. Hi. Got that off my chest. Michael Collins died yesterday. He was 90 years old. If you don't recognize the name, when we landed on the moon, he was the guy that didn't get to land on the moon. He was in the module that was flying around the orbit of the moon while the other two guys, James Lovell and the insufferable Buzz Aldrin, who was the second man on the moon. And let me just tell you something. I'm a kid of the 50s and 60s, and the space program for me was one of the most exciting things in my entire life. And I have a tendency to take all of these guys, all of these men and women who have been up in outer space, the space program, NASA, even with its flaws, and we know there's lots of corruption and lots of stuff that shouldn't have happened, and the Challenger explosion was because of greed and stupidity. But even with that, the space program and all the astronauts and everything, I hold those people in high regard, except for Buzz Aldrin, who was the second man on the moon. And maybe he's such a jackass because he was supposed to be the first man on the moon and they changed things around. He was the second man on the moon and nobody freaking cares about the second man on the moon. They care about Neil Armstrong. He was the first. And let me just tell you something. You know, we've had the guy on the air a couple of times. He was a dick every single time. And I finally said, no more Buzz Aldrin. And they're like, I would get calls and they would say, Buzz Aldrin's in town. Do you want to have him on the air? And I'd say, no. And they're like, really? I thought you liked this stuff. And I'm like, I do. I don't like Buzz Aldrin. And why is it that anybody who's ever flown something has the nickname Buzz? I lost a girlfriend once to a guy named Buzz, who was a pilot in training over at Parks Airport in Cahokia. This was 37 years ago, and it still bothers me. And it also bothers me that his name was Buzz. So Neil Armstrong goes out there, walks on the moon, then Buzz Aldrin walks out there. In the meantime, Michael Collins is flying around the moon going, shit, I wish I was down there. But although they did interview him, because when he died yesterday, they showed some old clips and he goes, no, I don't feel bad about it at all. I was honored and I considered it a privilege to have the assignment that I had in the space program. And so, no, don't worry about me. I'm fine. But he died yesterday. He was 90 years old. Apollo 11. We all know the story of Apollo 13. Anybody's got a TV or a Netflix subscription or Showtime or HBO, you've probably seen the movie 20 or 30 times. And of course, Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, and I can never tell the difference between Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton, but I'm pretty sure it was one of the two of those guys, portrayed the three astronauts. And just one of the great true stories of all time. I was watching Fargo the other day, and I'm thinking about the movie, and I'm thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great if this story was actually true, but it was the diseased mind of the guys who make those movies, the Coen brothers, and they just came up with this bizarre story. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, you know, this is a great movie. It's great. But the only thing that could have made it even better was that if it had been true, and it's not true. Although in the interviews, and I did go on that junket to California interview everybody from that movie, and I did ask the Coen brothers whether, in fact, they were really aware of a place somewhere in North Dakota where you could get laid and get pancakes. And they both just busted a gut. It was really, really funny. And by the way, how about Frances McDormand, who's, you know, married to one of the Coen brothers, third best actress Oscar the other night? People talk about, you know, people like Meryl Streep, but, you know, Frances McDormand is rewriting movie history as far as the awards are concerned. Anyway, back to the space program because I'm really veering off here. Apollo 13, great movie, as we said. And Jim Lovell, who was, of course, portrayed by Tom Hanks in the movie. Jim Lovell was in our studios long time ago. It was probably maybe 93, 94, somewhere in there. It was a great, great moment in our broadcast history, and you're going to hear that interview coming up at the tail end of today's podcast. I know that there will be people who will insist that serving Rudy Giuliani yesterday with the search warrants was partisan politics. And what they do in banana republics, you know, to the victors go the spoils, where, you know, one guy, one new dictator gets installed into some country like Uzbekistan or something. And then they immediately start rounding up all of the political foes and throwing them in jail. You know, like a freaking Idi Amin or something, or Saddam Hussein, or any of these guys with the weird. It all starts with the weird hair, you know, the weird hair, and then the military uniform. And then, you know, you got trouble. Does everybody remember the old Rudy Giuliani? Well, there seems like there's a couple of different Rudy Giulianis. You know, on one hand, you had him marrying his cousin and wearing a dress and acting like a goofball. And then on the other hand, I mean, I went to New York. I started going to New York in 1985. And from 85 to 99, I went to New York about 225 times. Doing those movie junkets, you know, you go see the movie and then you interview the people for TV and then you bring the tapes back and you put the interviews on TV in St. Louis. So I did that about 225 of those trips. And, you know, when I started going out there, Times Square was a toilet and Giuliani got in there and he cleaned the whole place up. And then after 9/11, you know, his conduct, I guess you'd say, was exemplary. I mean, he held that city together sort of, you know, emotionally in the aftermath of all of that. But then, I don't know, something happened. You just went sailing off the deep end. But if you've watched these cases where, you know, indictments are handed down and search warrants are approved and stuff like that, it generally means that they already have you. They've already got you. And the execution of the search warrant, sometimes it's just theater. It's to remind the guy, we got you. So you want to cut a deal or do you want to go to prison? Because we already have you. But as the federal agents raided Giuliani's New York City apartment and confiscated electronic devices, Rudy was very cooperative. Agents say he just sat back on the bed, put his hands down his pants. A lot of people have been getting groceries delivered during COVID, so some of us may have forgotten our grocery store manners. Here are six tips that have popped up on the internet related to this whole thing. Don't leave your cart in the middle of the parking lot. Block spaces. It's annoying. It'll take 30 seconds to return it. Don't leave the checkout line to go grab another item. If the line is three people deep and you're still waiting, fine, but once you're checking out, you can't leave. Don't block the aisle with your cart. Move to the side so other people can get by. And don't touch anything in anybody else's cart, or don't touch their cart. Gaming the 10 items or less lane. Don't line up with 15 items and expect nobody's going to notice. And keep your eye on your kids, by the way. They're tearing through the grocery store like they own the place. Woman in Missouri who smuggled a gun into jail inside of her lady parts just got 10 years in prison. Here's an actual news headline from CBS 11 in Colorado Springs. It read, Boulder's Block Road in Boulder Canyon near Boulder, according to Boulder County Sheriff's Office. And you think St. Louis television is messed up. Woman in Japan was arrested for stalking a police officer who arrested her last year for stalking. Chicken rentals have spiked during the pandemic. I've been blissfully unaware of this. There are some businesses around the country that rent chickens so you can get eggs or just have emotional support, or if you're lonely. And they've seen record numbers in the last year. Chicken rentals. A 32-year-old guy from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, was busted for kayaking across a lake in Montana earlier this month, but broke all sorts of laws, including COVID restrictions. There's a sign that people are seeing an end to the pandemic. Durex says that condom sales were up double digits in the first 3 months of the year. This guy, not exactly a frequent flyer, if you ask me, who's flying out of Las Vegas on Frontier Airlines last week, and was furious when they charged him a $55 baggage fee. And the next day, he called the airlines and threatened to kill everybody at the call center and blow up the airport. Guess what? He's facing charges, terrorist threats. 22-year-old guy in New York saw a FedEx driver singing in his truck, thought he was flirting with his girlfriend, and went after him with a bow and arrow. Guy's wound a little bit tight. New study out of the University of Roehampton in the UK wanted to see if there's any connection between kinky sex and drugs. And guess what? There is. The researchers found that people who are into illegal drugs are also more likely to do, quote, non-traditional sexual activities like BDSM and having one-night stands. The guy who led the study says, quote, our study revisited the well-worn phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and has proven that both recreational drug use and non-traditional sexual activities are linked and have also become the norm. And my favorite time of year, when we find out just how crazy Americans are. The baby naming website, Nameberry. So you're pregnant, you can't figure out what to name your kid. You go to this website and they make, I don't know, suggestions. Anyhow, they released their annual list of the names that parents in the United States are searching the most. And the boy names are some real traveling salesmen going to town by stagecoach selling thotic stuff. The five boy names that are the most popular, the ones they're searching for: Silas, Atticus, Arlo, Theodore, and Finn. The five girl names that are the most popular that women are looking for: Luna, Maeve, M-A-E-V-E. Maybe I'm not pronouncing that right. I don't know. Aurora, Isla, and Aurelia. Now, Aurelia was the name of the gal, Portuguese girl, in Love Actually. And then Isla Fisher is married to Sacha Baron Cohen. Aurora was Shirley MacLaine's name in Terms of Endearment. And Luna is everybody's dog name right now. But just because people are searching these names doesn't mean they're going to choose them. But it does mean those are trendy right now and they're making people curious. And a farmer in Michigan has been in a fight with his neighbor over their property line. So the farmer decided to mark the line by building a 250-foot long wall. Oh, did I mention it's made out of manure? And the city says there's nothing they can do about it because technically it's on the farmer's property. Can do what he wants. And here's a shocker. People search for large boobs on Pornhub 10 times more than small boobs. And now this.
I've used every swear man. I've used every swear man. Across the desert, bear man. In the mountain, air man. Cause I'm like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit sucker, dick wad, fuck wad, shit dick, ass break, blowjob, cock drop, bitch chats, nut job, pen dick, big prick, suck dick, ass shit, ass back, bag head, cum lick, dirt bag, dog, fuck, non crock, stink, puss job. I've used every swear man, I've used every swear man, cross the desert, fair man, in the mountain, air man, cause I'm like I got no cares, man, I've used every swear. I've used ass, wife, bass, clown, bumble, fuck, shit, clown, chicken, chuffer, clinch, fuck, cum, bubble, cum, fuck, dick, face, dip, shit, douchebag, fuck, wet, ass, rag, dick, smack, cock, butt, clip, hat, hoochie, mama, fucking head, fuck, tart, dick, head, punk, ass, jack, shit, butt, ranger, dick, lick. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Cross the desert, fair, man. In the mountain, air, man. Cause I'm like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass blast, ass friend to ass breath, ass white bean flick, butt munch, candy ass, butt white, chicken chick, cock, holes, a cock, sucker, dick, brain, dick, wad, dick, head, dick, munch, dick, pain, dumb, fuck, fart, knuckle, fuck a bitch, fuck head, fuck face, fudge, fucker, jizz, mop a whole back. I've used every swear, man, I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man, I've used every swear.
I'd use cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit sucker, dick wad, fuck wad, shit dick, ass prick, blowjob, cock drop, bitch ass, nut job, pen dick, big prick, suck dick, ass shit, ass back, fag, head, cum, leg, dirt back, dog, fuck, fuck, non crock, stink, puss, jump. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Cross the desert, bear, man. In my underwear, man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. Oh, I've used every swear.
Oh, that really cleared the palate. All right. Well, you got to go back to the mid-1990s for this one. And James Lovell. This was the real-life astronaut that was portrayed by Tom Hanks in the movie Apollo 13, Ron Howard. The movie, by the way, was based on the book by James Lovell called Moonshot. And just to show you how far back this interview goes, there's things that we discuss that are brand new to us in 1994 that we were hearing about for the first time, like details about the Apollo 13 tragedy, just exactly what happened. It was the first time I had heard anything about these parabolic dive airplanes where, you know, movies are using them all the time now where you can appear to be weightless. And you have to sort of put yourself in that mindset back in the mid-1990s. This was a couple of years before the movie Apollo 13 was even released. They hadn't even started shooting this movie yet. I'll tell you, I love this guy, James Lovell.
Let me ask you this. You know, we've had the setup there from John Scott from Dateline NBC talking about the mission that went awry. What was scarier for you, that or trying to land in the windstorm last night at Lambert Field?
I tell you, last night was really something to behold. Lightning, thunder, the airplane bumping all around. I said, "Oh my gosh, Houston, we got a problem here."
And there's nobody coming back on.
All right, we've got about 600 guys working on this, and we'll get back to you.
Like, got up there, and it's three guys in the cockpit, and that's right. Pretty much it. We grew up with this story. Obviously, I'm 41, so we've known this story. Why go back now and write this book?
Well, it's like a fine wine. It needed some aging. After the initial euphoria of getting us recovered, NASA sort of wanted to bury this flight. I mean, it was, you know, a failure after all. They wanted to remember Apollo 8 and Apollo 11. As a matter of fact, I think the spacecraft has been exiled to Paris at a small museum all these years. But now I think they realize it was a real triumph from teamwork and motivation initiative to get an almost certain catastrophe back home safely. And
Well, look, anybody who ever works with any kind of electronic equipment, and of course we do here, it is inevitable that something is going to fail. So why NASA, and we've learned in later years about all the politicking that kind of drives the NASA space program and leading right up to the Challenger accident and everything like that, when it turns out that maybe there was more politicking going on than anybody knew anything about. But you're absolutely right. I think this is a tremendous story. This isn't a story of failure. It's a story of triumph.
And it's a real true adventure story, too, JC. I mean, it's not a Star Trek. I mean, it's not fantasy. It's real.
It seems to me that there is an increasing amount of space junk up there. And that doesn't even count asteroids and comets and anything else that's floating around up there. What are the mathematical probabilities that at some point some manned space mission is going to encounter a piece of space junk the wrong way?
Oh, very, very remote. I mean, I don't know. It's in the millions to one, I guess. Because, you know, our space junk is all going about in the same direction, going in an easterly direction. So, you know, even the collision probably wouldn't be that great. It's some of the, you know, a stray meteor coming through that we're really worried about.
So to this day, do you know what it was that hit you guys?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, in the book Lost Moon, the epilogue tells the whole story of what happened. We did a three-month analysis, and it was, I'll give you a little clue.
Okay.
It was a oxygen tank that blew up due to the wrong thermostat in the tank that was put into the tank 5 years before we took off.
So you hear the explosion, the thing starts rocking back and forth, it stabilizes, and when was the next indication that you had a problem?
Well, the next indication that I had a problem is when I saw all our fuel cells, which produce electricity, they're all failing. Then I looked out the window and I saw a gaseous substance escaping from at a high rate of speed, and I knew that it was oxygen because I saw the oxygen gauges go down. And so it didn't take much intelligence on my part that I thought we were in deep, deep trouble.
You're in a lot of trouble, and at some point, NASA tells you, Houston tells you, you've got about 15 minutes left before your oxygen runs out. You have a serious problem. And incredibly, as described by John Scott in that story, your fellow astronauts, I'm sure it must have been overwhelming for them, but at the same time, they did not understand how much danger you were in?
Oh, yeah, well, they understood how much danger we were in. You know, for we knew it before the ground did. But, you know, when you get to the moon for the very first time, like Jack and Fred, you know, they forgot where they were. They were looking for their cameras to take pictures. And I said, gentlemen, you know we got to get home.
The movie is going to be coming out, I guess, sometime next year. I guess summertime is what we hear for a release date. Is that what you also hear?
No, probably more around this period, around Thanksgiving
so that late.
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right now, that's what they're saying.
All right. And again, as you pointed out, you could hardly hope for a better. You know, you could do something that would get you fame and notoriety. And you know that eventually every good story will be made into a movie. And you could have some lousy director or some creepy people or some unattractive actor portraying you. What happens? You've been kissed. You've been absolutely kissed. Ron Howard directs the movie, and Tom Hanks portrays you.
Couldn't have asked for a better combination, JC. I mean, I'm on cloud nine.
I mean, it's like you had some lousy luck on Apollo 13, but yeah. Pretty much everything since then has been pretty much coming up roses.
That's right.
All right, now, you just came from the set of this movie, and people always wonder why it costs $40, $50, $60 million to make a movie. Talk about some of the things you saw. How long were you there, and where was there, by the way?
Well, they're actually doing most of the movie on a soundstage in California at Universal. But what they did was they went to Houston and looked at the control center that operated our ship and, you know, where everything was controlled from, and duplicated exactly on a soundstage. I mean, down to the ceiling tiles, down to the push buttons on the consoles. And then they went to my old home, which has been, you know, twice removed now, and they walked in there and took pictures of all the interior and then duplicated that on a soundstage.
Now, here's what I find interesting about that. They could have taken a set that was already built and said, this is Commander James Lovell's home. Does it strike you as odd that they would... Nobody else is going to know that that's exactly what your house looked like.
That's exactly right. And that's how authentic this movie is going to be. Because, you know, when they took over and took the option on the book, they could have placed this whole thing on Mars because we had no control. But they are trying to make this authentic as possible. As a matter of fact, NASA offered Mission Control Center to them to show that particular site because it was mothballed. And they said, no, there's too much security problems here. We'll just take the whole thing out to California.
Where they can deliver our bottles of Perrier every day.
Ron wants to go home at night, I
sure,
guess.
Yeah. Sure. So you went out there, and let's just talk about your conversations with Mr. Hanks, and what's that been like?
Oh, I couldn't have asked for a better guy to portray me because, you know, he's just a natural guy right now, and he's, of course, had a lot of success.
And he also is a really wonderful guy who, when you interview him, wants to do a good job, and you really get the sense, as David Letterman, as a matter of fact, points out from time to time when he's a guest on the show, one of the reasons for Tom Hanks' success is that his likability really comes through on screen, whether it be television, movies, whatever the case may be. He really is a good guy.
That's right. We had him down at our house in Horseshoe Bay for 4 days while he was learning the character that he was going to play, and I took him up my little Baron airplane, you know, and tried to show him a little zero-G before, before he had to actually do it in a bigger airplane. And so he's a nice guy.
There is a really good story in Premiere Magazine this month that talks about what they are going through. And there is some sort of plane that does, I still remember this, parabolic maneuvers. And what they're going to do, I guess there's a lot of different ways that you could simulate weightlessness. You could do it in a studio. You could do it against a blue screen. You could do all kinds of ways. But they wanted to simulate, not simulate, they wanted to actually create.
For the first time ever in movies, too.
Yeah, to create a weightless environment, and there is an airplane that I guess what goes straight up and then goes straight down, and at some point you get a weightless compartment
at the top of the curve. The zero G airplane, which is basically a 707 type aircraft, gives you about 15 to 25 seconds of zero gravity, real weightlessness, and they're taking short shots of the guys floating around, water floating, you know, all that stuff. So this is the real stuff. I mean, it's not wires.
Now, how do a bunch of Hollywood actors handle? You guys trained for years to do this. How does Tom Hanks handle weightlessness?
Well, all of them that were going to be involved, you know, both you know, Kevin Bacon and also Bill Paxton, they were kind of worried about that, you know.
Yeah.
And they went over there for an orientation flight, and so suddenly decided that's not too bad.
And from what you've been able to see so far on the set and talking to Ron Howard, you think they've got this thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's really authentic. They don't have to hype the movie up at all. It's got so much adventure to it, and it's a true life story of adventure.
And what will the focus be? Because, I mean, you can say, well, it's the story of Apollo 13, and it might not have... Is it going to focus on the explosion and the accident and the drama involved of you guys being... faced with the possibility of having 15 minutes left in life? Is that the focus of the movie?
Well, the focus of the movie is how they got the spacecraft back safely. The teamwork between the ground, working very carefully, coming up with procedures in a matter of hours rather than weeks that normally it took, and also how the crew lived through the whole ordeal. And so it's a combination.
So you wouldn't mind, even with everything you've had to endure and everything you survived and the scariness involved in the whole thing, you wouldn't mind going up again?
Oh, no. Listen, I'd love to do it. Fly the shuttle, that'd be great fun.
And is there anything that has been, you always hear about people having near-death experiences, and this certainly qualifies as one. Did it change you permanently? And when did it really register what had almost happened to you?
Well, in one way, it did change me in the fact that I take everything, very easy now, because I could have been dead back in 1970, and so I'm living on borrowed time, and I rather enjoy it. Crises don't really bother me anymore.
It is, and we got through this whole thing without any Tang jokes, because Alan Shepard, when we made the Tang jokes, he got this look on his face like, okay, so that's what it's going to be like. And we said, oh, I see. We want to be cool with the astronauts.
Yeah.
Do a whole interview and don't mention Tang. And then they'll go, all right, you guys cool can guys. Say no Tang jokes. So there you go. We've managed to do it just about. Commander, thank you very much for spending some time with us. What a kick. We really appreciated you coming by here today. And have fun while you're in St. Louis, okay?
Thank you, JC.
I'm telling you, I love that guy. And that puts a lid on another JC Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com for the 29th of April, 2021. Please continue to do what you're doing, and that is to tell everybody that you know, especially people who used to love the old radio shows, that we are here every morning, bright and early at 7 o'clock, but you can download it at any time. We are working on getting the show's archived, so if you miss one, you can still hear it, and I'll let you know when that is all set. All right, enjoy your day. Stay dry, unless, of course, you like being wet. See you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.